Thanks, Peter. Good morning. That song, that story ties in really well. I think Peter didn't see that, but it's amazing how this guy could experience. I equate him to the modern day Job. He lost all his possessions, or much of his possessions, his family, and still he could write that song, "It is well with my soul." The Fruit of the Spirit series we're in. Love, joy, peace, right? So the first week we talked about God's love. God is love, and he wants us to have that love, and he wants us to share that love. Now, sometimes joy is kind of hard to grab hold of. You can see in this picture. They're trying to express their joy, and that's what we talked about last week. It's sometimes it's hard to grab hold of joy, even though it's within us, and we need to make it come out. Now, I want you to close your eyes for 10 seconds. Think about peace. Okay, so let's see how you did. Did you think about this? Is that who thought about that? Who's from the 70s there? Thought of, okay, nobody admits to that one. I heard Wayne laugh, though. I think he knows that that means. Okay, next one. Peace, brother, peace. Okay, that's another one. Piece of pie. Who thought about a piece of pie? Okay, stomach growling. All right. Or God's peace. God's peace. That's what we're going to talk about today, is the peace that only God can give us. That verse that Peter read is so good. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. That's the backbone of what we're looking at today. Perfect peace. What do you think of when you think of perfect peace? You know, I said think about peace, but perfect peace is something way beyond what maybe we can find on our own. As you guys were contemplating peace, it was very quiet in here. Very tranquil, peaceful, actually. But that's not what we're talking about. That's the world's definition of peace. In John 16:33, Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble." He talks about peace, and in the same breath, he's talking about you're going to have trouble. How can you have trouble and peace at the same time? It's possible because God gives us that inner peace. Even though we're going through trials and tribulation and troubles, money problems, friend problems, work problems, whatever it is, we can grab hold of that peace that only God can give us. So the keys to experiencing this inward peace, perfect peace, abiding peace of God, it's there. Just like we talked about last week, joy can be there, but you're not expressing it. You're not really grasping it. And I think peace has a lot of similarities. We can have so many trials in the world around us, and yet we can have that joy and peace in our hearts. Let's pray, and we'll jump into Philippians 4. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that you would impart your wisdom into our lives. Help us to grasp the love, joy, and peace that you desire for each one of us. Because we are going to have troubles. We are going to have trials. Lord, help us to fix our eyes on you, to grab hold of that peace that only you can give, that perfect peace. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Philippians 4, if you want to turn in your Bibles, I think I have something on the screen here. Do I have Philippians 4? Maybe not. It was a tough week for me. I was under the weather. I had a headache like never had before in my life. Finally, I know what a migraine is, so I've learned something this week. Okay, That was definitely a migraine. I always wondered, what's a migraine like? Now I don't want to know again. Philippians 4, it talks about, he's writing to the church, and there's problems going on at Philippi, the church there. There's some dissension, there's some arguing, there's not peace. He doesn't hear that there's peace at their church. And he's writing to them and encouraging them, grab hold of God's peace. We need to exemplify that. He's pleading with them. Be of the same mind in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He's encouraging them to say, you know what? Work through these problems. Don't let them get you down. Don't let them stir up the body. Grab hold of what you have in common with God, with His unity, with His peace. Because the church of Christ is the body. And it's made up of different members, and we need to work together. Just like your own body has to function together. Wouldn't it be tough if, like, one day your arm didn't want to do what it's supposed to do? Or your foot didn't want to work and it just wanted to sit around? That's what happens with the Church of Christ, the body. We need to work together in peace and unity so that we can function well, so that we can be attractive to the outsiders and they can see what maybe they want in their own life, whether it's love, joy, peace, or another fruit of the Spirit. We need to exemplify that. We need to be a shining light. You know, it's a sad commentary. Not many churches in the U.S. are exemplifying that. They don't have peace amongst the people, and they don't even have peace within their own lives. People are so busy nowadays. They get captivated by so much outside of what God has to offer. They get captivated by the world, and it just draws them in. And they lose their inner peace. They lose track of it. In fact, some people, you know, get a little bit bored, and they go to more chaos. They grab hold of a movie or TV or something and to just keep them busy. So they don't have to hear from God. That's one of our biggest trials in life right now. We're so busy that it's hard to hear from God. It's hard to grab hold of that peace that He can offer. And I talked about how the church today is struggling with grabbing hold of that peace. And I think there's two major reasons. A lack of faith and a lack of spiritual discipline. We need to make good choices in life. And we need to have faith in God that He can supply all our needs. That He can give us that perfect peace. As Paul was talking in Philippians 4 about an inward peace he desired for them, God desires that for us. And we're going to look at different ways that we can grab hold of that peace of mind, the peace of God. And it's not a suggestion, it's a command. In verse 6, Paul begins by commanding, be anxious for nothing. He's not suggesting that. He's telling them, be anxious for nothing. That would be a wonderful thing if you and I could go through all of 2015 and never be anxious. It would change our lives. It would change how we relate to others, how we would interact with others. We would be very patient people. I'll be talking about patience pretty soon, and they kind of tie together, just like love and joy go together, and peace and patience, they tie together so well. Do not be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. That fits in here today too. Why are we anxious? We choose to worry. We're nervous. We fret. We lose our joy. We have fear. We're anxious for things in life. God has a word for us. Jesus said in Luke 12, "Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life?" Can you do such a thing? Can you make your life longer because you worried about something? You worried about your money. You worried about your job. You worried about your kids. You worried about whatever, what you're going to wear. Can you add time to your life? Jesus is asking. He says, no, you can't. So quit worrying. Quit being anxious. Quit fearing. That's a good point. Worry and fear can bring us down. They can't bring positive change to our lives by worrying. I think peace can do that. Worry can give you physical harm and spiritual harm. Peace can do the opposite. Can improve our life, both physically and spiritually. Paul tells us in verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. I just love those words. Surpasses all understanding. You guys can't understand it. I can't understand it. Only God can understand the perfect peace that is right there for the taking. For all of you who have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the fruit of the Spirit is a gift. And you can grab hold of it and make it shine in your life. We should be shining. We talked about how the churches often are not shining. They're not spreading God's word. They're not making it attractive. Are you making it attractive? Love, joy, peace. Do people see that in your lives? I would hope so. I pray that that would be true. It's so important that we can make others see God's love, God's peace, and joy in our lives. If that's not happening, then we're missing the boat. The world cannot give you peace like God can give you, divine peace, perfect peace. I read a quote. If you desire peace, do the things that make for peace. That's one guy's thought. It might help. But I think that we need to obey God and do what He says. Obey His word. Seek out what we can do. One of the things is prayer. Each Sunday we pray for the needs of that are brought forth. But on Monday, are you praying? Are you seeking God? Are you seeking that peace that He can offer? You need to have a prayer life. You need to have an active, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to. In verse 6 again, in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Pour out your heart to God. All of the things that you're worried about, dump them on God. He can handle all of our problems and His life goes on just fine. His day goes fine. We cannot handle them well. Dump them on God. Whatever is bothering you, take it to the Lord. Whatever you're facing, maybe you're going through some big trials. Maybe you have sickness in the family. There's so many things that can bring us down. Look to God for that peace that only He can offer. Prayer is so important. Peace of mind that God gives us by answering our prayers. How many of you have had a prayer answered this year? We need to all be raising our hand. You know why? Because God wants to answer our prayers. And if we're not praying, then we can't raise our hand and say, God, answer my prayer. It's up to you as an individual. It's great to have prayer on Sunday morning. Corporate prayer, we lift up needs, that's great. But you need to be praying on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The next thing that I want to talk about is Thanksgiving. Not the day in November, but today should be a day of Thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for. Maybe your glass is half full, maybe it's half empty. I want you to see it as half full. Look at the good things in life. All the blessings. Don't look at the bad things. Don't look at your trials. Look at all the good things that God has done for you. Again in verse 6, submit your request to God with thanksgiving. It's so important. Don't just come complaining. Be thankful. God has given you so much to be thankful for. You're able to get here today. Some people can't move. They can't get here today. And some people have chosen not to attend church today. Be thankful that you have a relationship with God, however great or small it is. Be thankful for that. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You probably don't have time today to count all your blessings. Count enough so that you can be thankful. Go to God in prayer today and be thankful for what you have and who He is in your life. The third thing that I want to talk about in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Dwell on the positive. These things are positive. These things are good and right and pure. God desires for us to focus on those things. It will help bring peace into our life. God said it, so it's true. If you're struggling, I recommend you go to Philippians 4, verse 8, and just ponder those words, those verses, that verse there, and dwell on the positive. You hear about stories in the hospital where people are positive and they heal faster. It's definitely tied to God. He desires for us to grab a hold of that. Dwell on the positive. The fourth thing that I wrote down, obedience to God's word. Are you being obedient to God's word? Are you reading His word and understanding it and meditating on it and obeying His word? Verse 9 says, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. He's encouraging the church, the people at Philippi, to remember what you've seen in my life, what you've seen in God's word, what you've seen around you. Practice these things. Don't forget them. Make them an active part of your life. And the God of peace shall be with you. If we obey God's word, we can avoid the pitfalls of life. There's so much wisdom in God's word, especially in Proverbs, but throughout Scripture, there's so much wisdom. No matter what's going on in your life, Find a verse that can help you stand strong. Meditate and memorize it. And it can give us a clean conscience, a clear conscience. Promote peace of mind. You know, when our mind is all messed up with non-pure things and the struggles that life offers, no wonder we don't have peace. Maybe it's hard to sleep at night. Think about Philippians 4:8. Dr. Charles Stanley, it's funny, you know, this morning my wife was asking me about Dr. Charles Stanley, and I said, well, yeah, I want to read something that he wrote today. And so I copied it off from a book, and the print is less than 12. And my eyes are not good at less than 12. Okay, this is from his book called A Touch of Peace. God knows that maintaining relational peace with others is not possible without the diligent, conscious exertion of our will and the restraining of our emotions. At no time, however, are we more like Christ than when we are ambassadors of peace. For it is the peacemakers who are called the sons of God. A peacemaker is one who is first concerned about pleasing God, not man. When your motivation is to please men, you are caught in relational snarls that can be almost impossible to untie. Your actions are dictated by circumstances and the personalities of individuals. That is an emotional roller coaster where peace is seldom maintained. But when your desire is always to please God, peace with others is far more likely, because then your desire is to do what is right in God's sight, even if the consequences are not pleasant for you. A peacemaker is also one who cultivates a servant's heart. We talked about how we are the body of Christ, and we need to interact together. And we need to be ready to be a servant. Part of peace is taking the focus off of our own life. Not being so self-centered, selfish, but being servants. Being ready to help others to shine for God. Matthew 5. You know this section of Scripture? Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. God really has a special place for those that can grab hold of His peace and to share that with others. I would encourage you to do that this week, to pray with thanksgiving, obey His word, share His word with others, meditate on His word. Remember to pray every day of the week. Mark off your calendar. Not just once a day, often. God's word says, pray without ceasing. It'll bring peace into your life. The peace that is within will show forth. That's our desire, that we would exude the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We started with love, joy, and peace. There's a lot more to go. But this week, you focus on those, and as we approach Easter, it should be even easier to shine for Christ. When others see you in school, in town, and at workplace, are you shining? Are you showing the fruit of the Spirit? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the peace that you offer us. Lord, help us to shine brightly with your love and joy and peace and the other fruit of the Spirit. Lord, we ask that you would use us. Give us opportunity, Lord, to share with others this peace that only you can give, the perfect peace that is just without understanding. We praise your name, and may you be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.